Hello and welcome to Life Sciences in Queensland. Joining us today is Professor Fabian Mackay, the Director and CEO of QIMR Berghofer Medical Research Institute in Queensland. Professor Mackay studied medicine and biomedical engineering before obtaining her PhD in molecular biology and immunology from Louis Pasteur University in Strasbourg in France. Among her awards is a trophy from the French Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Paris for outstanding contribution in education and research as an expatriate. Professor Mackay, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me today.
QIMR Berghofer has built an enviable international reputation as a fine research institute, and it boasts four very strong streams. They are in cancer, infectious diseases, mental health, and chronic disorders. What are the biggest projects the institute is working on right now?
So you're right to say that QIMR Berghofer actually has been doing medical research for the last 76 years, actually. Wow. And certainly has built an incredible reputation nationally, internationally, in different fields and the field you just mentioned. Now, if you ask me about the fantastic project that are going on right now, my God, I'm going to pick a few, and I hope my colleague at QIMR Berghofer are not going to be offended. There's so many things to talk about, and I'm excited about so much of the research going on. But just to give you a little bit of a feel for what we do, the kind of research starts from the very basic research, trying to understand pathways that leads to disease, to the more clinical population type of research and translational research, all the way to public health and population health. I'll give you a snippet of all of that. So if we start with basic research, the thing that comes to mind recently is the work from Chris Anguera. He's discovered a new protein. It's called NKG7, and it might be very important in cancer and infectious disease. So he's trying to explore that, and potentially, you never know, one day develop a treatment that might target this particular pathway. In the basic research, I can think also of Steve Lane, who's a clinician hematologist, and he's been working on the mechanism that turned a cell that is the precursor of a leukemia. It's called a stem cell, but there's a variation of that called leukemic stem cells, and he's trying to understand what actually characterizes those cells so they can target them. So that's the kind of basic work in a nutshell that I'm thinking of. Now, if you go to the next stage, something really important I want to say, is James Hudson. Mm-hmm. So James Hudson is working on something really, really interesting. He's able to grow mini human hearts in a dish, and it's kind of cardiomyocyte beating in the dish. It's
mini human hearts.
That's right.
Wow.
It's called organoids. So they're basically cardiomyocyte in culture, and they actually beat like a heart. So it's really interesting. And he's got a very ambitious program, because he's really trying to fill a gap at the moment in terms of our understanding of the heart. In particular, there's about 8,500 genes that characterize these cardiomyocytes, and he's trying to put all of that, what he calls a heart on a computer, and really trying to sort out, you know, with sophisticated technique, you know, really how the human heart works, not just in health, but also in disease, which is very important. And he's supported by a great fellowship. So it's a fellowship, it's actually 8 years, very rare in Australia to have a fellowship for 8 years. And it's from the Snow Medical Research Foundation, which is really, really prestigious. So we're very happy for James. So if I go to the next stage, the clinical research we do, the thing that comes to mind is the work from Rajiv Khanna. So Professor Rajiv Khanna actually has spent many, many years developing cellular therapies, and he's been very successful with that. And we are capable at QIMR Berghofer to manufacture those cell therapies and actually provide them to patients. So that's a really unique feature and setup we have at QIMR Berghofer. And so Rajiv's been very successful developing those type of cellular therapies to treat multiple sclerosis, which is an autoimmune disease characterized by the destruction of nerves and the central nervous system. Very debilitating autoimmune disease, in particular the progressive form of it, and that's what he's trying to tackle. But he's also developed a lot of cells to fight infectious disease. So something people may not be familiar with, but in Australia there is a scheme called special access scheme. This is a scheme that is approved by the Therapeutic Goods of Australia. And what it says that institutions like QMR Berghofer are allowed to provide clinical grade experimental cellular therapy to patients as a last resort, as something that when everything's been tried, then this is the last thing we can do. And lately we've done it in spades and we've been saving lives across Australia. So I'll tell you one story.
Yes.
Which is personally is inspiring me. Very recently in Perth, in the Children's Hospital in Perth, there's a young pediatric patient who was undergoing a bone marrow transplant and developed an overwhelming problem with an infection with a virus called adenovirus. And they tried everything to stop the infection and they couldn't. And they called us saying, you know, we'd love to have Professor Khanna's cells against adenovirus, the cellular therapies. Can you give that to us? So before I can do that, because at the end I have to decide, I need to get experts in infectious disease, and I usually get three of them. And then they have to tell me whether or not it's a good idea. And this particular case, we're talking a young patient being extremely sick and showing early sign of organ failure. We thought, yeah, I mean, we need to do everything we can to save that child. So we did. We provided the cells and we gave the cells. But we don't know what's happening after that. You know, it's up to the clinician to do what they need to do. But I got this really sweet email early this year from the Children's Hospital in Perth, thanking us and thanking Rajiv for the incredible work we've done. So that young patient not only controlled the infection, but the liver function went back to normal. And we told this young patient's been discharged and doing very well today. Mm. Can you just imagine before Christmas what that means for a family?
And it must make the people working at the Institute feel warm and fuzzy when they hear stories like that. Often the work in the laboratory can seem quite isolated until you hear and who it's benefiting as well.
And researchers also in QMR are very humble. I always say to Rajiv, but not many people know that. Do you know that? So it's incredible what you've done, you know. So I like to tell the story because it really, you know, something that I'm very interested in. So it's part of the clinical translational work we do. And the last bit, which is the population health and public health. We have two major programs. The one that's been there for quite a while is called QSkin. As you know, melanoma, sadly, Queensland is a state where it's the highest rate of melanoma in the world. And QSkin basically has enrolled over the years 44,000 or more patients and Queenslanders to really measure their risk of developing melanoma. And through that very hard work, a test online has been developed to really measure the kind of risk you have. And I really encourage everyone to go to our website and do it, because most people actually underestimate how exposed they can be to potentially developing melanoma. So there need to be really better way on how what the risk is and be prepared to protect and be much more cautious about the sun. And then the last one in population health is a recent study that's probably been publicized recently. Again, a very large study supplementing a lot of people, you know, more than tens of thousands of people with vitamin D and trying to see what benefit it has. And there's a huge amount of information coming out of that. So this is, in a nutshell, from hand to hand, the kind of work we do at QMR Berghofer.
And how important to Queensland are the interstate and the international collaborations with QIMR's teamwork?
Oh, it's extremely important. You know, you don't do this kind of work in isolation. All our researchers have a long list of national and international collaborators. And more broadly, even within Queensland, if you ask the local, we collaborate very strongly with local universities, with the government as well, and with industries.
Have the varying pandemic restrictions on interstate and overseas travel, have they affected QIMR's work, including its own research into COVID?
Look, we've been affected like everybody else. However, our blessing was to be in Queensland, where in some, you know, we've been lucky that the problem with us hasn't been as acute as it's been in other states such as Victoria. But having said that, look, we had to put a lot of measures in place. We had a lockdown and you know, technically we had to apply a social distancing that meant not everybody could come in one lab at one time. You know, lots of measures that meant work had to slow down. That's the reality of that.
In terms of COVID, is there much research that you're doing there?
Yeah, we are very active with that. And I need to mention Professor Andrea Serbier, who is a virologist at QMR Berg Offer, who is the first one who's a very gifted virologist. And we have what we call a high containment facility called PC3 facility, where we can manipulate safely dangerous pathogens such as COVID. And certainly Andrea has worked very closely with Queensland Health to get the COVID virus and really set up the facility so we could start doing very important work on COVID right away.
You talked about collaborations earlier. The collaborations with the universities here and overseas, how important are they?
Locally, extremely important, because the thing I've realized when I first came to Queensland is the incredible diversity of talents. But it's well done in Queensland because it's actually very complementary. You get a lot of vaccines strengths and immunology, infectious disease strengths at UQ, but you've got that at QUT as well, and Griffiths, various places, even north in Cairns, you have a lot of tropical disease research. And what we do at QMR is actually different, but very complementary. So the collaboration is absolutely key.
You have a prestigious research background yourself. How has your career unfolded?
Look, I still have a lab, and I'm still very passionate about it.
You still have a lab?
Yeah. I still have funding, so I have to cater for my grant. In fact, I've got a Distinguished Investigator Lupus Research Award, which still runs for another 3 years. And so I have my lab. In fact, I had my lab meeting this morning, and I'm very excited about the early data that they showed me. It's, of course, being director and CEO of QMR Berg Offer, clearly my time is very much more dedicated to others than myself. That's the reality of the role. But I still quarantine time to do my research. I think I still have to give something in research. But, you know, over the years, as you said, you know, I've done some great stuff as a scientist. And, in fact, I've discovered a pathway that's very important and eventually led to a new treatment that is now approved in the clinic. I'm not going to say that I'm finished, you know, I'm done, I've done something, and so, well, you can do something else. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, over the years, I became more passionate about making sure others enjoy the same journey I've enjoyed. So it's about supporting other researchers, especially the young ones and the mid-career, making sure that they are developing their career to enjoy the same success I had. I was fortunate to enjoy myself.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the challenges that young scientists face today, do you think?
Look, you probably heard that from many people. I think the issue we have currently in Australia is the funding. Look, it's structural. There is funding in Australia. In fact, to be fair, in recent years, the government has, in effect, doubled or more funding to medical research. And that is the National Health and Medical Research Funds plus the MRFF, or Medical Research Future Fund. The problem is the two schemes are very disjointed. The MRFF is very much focused towards the end of the pipeline. So we're talking clinical. If you think of discovery of new medicine is a pipeline from discovery to development to clinical and basically clinical care, it's very much on the end of that. The NHMRC, on the other hand, has a budget that hasn't changed much. If anything, in real term, it's contracting. So it's a fixed budget. It's been fixed for a long time. And recently, we have been through a change in the way NHMRC allocates or distributes funds for research. I think the intention was very good. The intention was to offer longer time, grants that last longer to investigators, so they don't spend all their time writing all the time grants, which I think was a good idea. But it's only a good idea if you increase the budget, because technically and arithmetically, it's pretty simple to understand that if you give more money per individual every year, you obviously fund less individuals if you have the same overall budget. And the sad thing for this is what we're seeing is individual receiving an award in name, either as a principal investigator or chief investigator, has contracted by about 50%. And sadly, it has affected primarily early and mid-career researchers. So when they see the success rate, you know, I can't blame them to feel incredibly disheartened by the whole system and exploring, you know, the possibility of leaving science. And I think that the sad thing there is their own suffering and their own anxiety about the system has a flow-on impact on actually those who are actually really successful. Because the environment, the whole atmosphere is very sad in many ways. And the issue also is that before COVID, my institute or universities, we were trying to find a way, or at least we managed to find some ways to support these young people, because we believe what the research they do is excellent, and try to protect them from what has happened with NHMRC. The problem is COVID got into, you know, we had COVID. And COVID, as you know, had major impact on the revenue of universities, also had a major impact on our ability to do fundraising, to generate that revenue we need to make up for the shortfall that NHMRC is no longer providing. Mm-hmm. And we can't do that anymore. So sadly for us, we're experiencing a situation where we might see people leaving science, and a lot of them, especially the young ones. And that's the part that actually makes me sad.
Science in the past has been male-dominated, yeah, to an extent. Are we seeing a gender balance now, or would you want to encourage more women to come in?
There are progress made. I mean, I'm not saying that. There are a lot of different ways of trying to rectify this. It's true that we're trying to fix something that's been there for quite a while. But again, it always goes back to funding. You know, we know at the moment at senior level, it's primarily, or even at QMR Berg Offer, to be honest, there's a lot of senior leaders who are male leaders. When I was in the School of Biomedical Science at Uni Melbourne, that was the same. We had more female researchers at junior level, and there was an attrition when you get to professorial level. And I think you always need to fight that. And there's many ways of fighting it. Is addressing the cultural differences. You know, I always say that male candidates come up for promotion 3 years too early, and female candidates come up for promotion 3 years too late. So that's also intrinsic, you know, gender approach to promotion. But it's also you need to make sure it is well managed. So people who are ready for promotion actually tap on the shoulder and say, well, you need to go and get promoted so you're ready. So the feedback is very important, and also paying attention to the talent, irrespective of gender, that you have and that you need to support and mentor.
Well, thank you so much, Professor Mackay, for your time today, helping us better understand how Queensland benefits from QIMR's research activities. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.